Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Pole.
The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
Sorry about that. Seeing radio, when I come to work each day and I want to do something extra, such as podcasts, I got to find a studio to do it in, because I can't do it in, you know, our 620 studios. I got to go find what we call a production room, which is a little room with a microphone and equipment to get everything done. Well, those were all taken yesterday. And that disappoints some of you, because yesterday is a big day. So, because of that, we're going to make up for that right now. We're going to have yesterday's podcast now, and then I'm going to have another podcast coming out a little later as well. Two podcasts today just for you. It is Thursday. Do want to remind you, later on in the week, we are going to break down and talk in a podcast about the defensive tackles I wrote about last weekend, and also preview a little bit what we're going to be breaking down this weekend, which will be the wide receivers and tight ends. Wide receivers and tight ends in this year's draft class. We'll get to the emails momentarily, but I do want to remind you, every Wednesday, usually, unless, you know, technical reasons have us pushed back to Thursday, but every week, at least once a week, we do answer your emails. And if you have a question in regards to the NFL, the draft, the Bucks, anything, you can email me, Justin Pawlowski at 620WDAE.com. If you need to know how to spell that, look anywhere on this website at joebucksfan.com, or go to 620WDAE.com and keyword Blitz, and that will take you to my webpage. But without further ado, it is time for that very popular segment, the email segment.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Boseman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Boseman.
We got some good ones today, too. I mean, some doozies. So we can get right to that. I don't want to, you know, I've been debating this, because I'm not sure if people have been, you know, upset. Some of these podcasts have gotten long. So I don't know if I'm rambling too much. I have so much information that I want to bestow to you. So let me know. You can email me, or you can write a comment, or what. If these are too long, if you want short, quick, to the point, I can do that. I can make them short and quick. I can keep some information for myself. But if you don't mind the long podcast, I don't mind doing that either. Granted, remember, the short ones will save me a lot of time as well. But then again, I'm one to work. I love working. I love putting in the extra time. So, without further ado, yes, it is time for our email segment. And the first one here, yes.
You've got mail.
We do. Justin, what players need to have the best pro days before the NFL draft? That comes to us from John in Safety Harbor. John, I do appreciate that email. A couple of those players have already had their pro days. And the two right off the top of my head that I can think of was, first off, Andre Smith, offensive tackle from Alabama. We talked about him. He went and had a very dismal performance at the combine, in which he wasn't going to work out, showed up out of shape, then just left. Then at his pro day, lost some weight, did lose some weight, did not impress, though, in his workouts. Ran the 40 with his shirt off, really, I guess, showing off that he still wasn't in shape. He might have lost some poundage, but still had a lot of a lot of flab underneath that shirt. So Andre Smith has hurt himself. The other guy that comes to mind, Derek Williams, wide receiver from Penn State. I'm going to talk about him and Penn State's pro day, Florida's pro day, coming up in our next podcast. But I will say this, Derek Williams needed to have a great pro day after a dismal performance at the combine. Then we find out he had the flu at the combine. I don't know if you've ever had the flu. I have. Not pretty. And if he had it even half as bad as when I had it, I can imagine why he had a bad combine. He made up for it, though. We'll talk about that in our next podcast coming out where we break down the pro days from the past couple of days. Those are the two guys, to me, that really stand out. You know, other players out there, Ray Maaluga, who got injured at the combine, a couple of the offensive linemen that are maybe neck and neck, guys like Jason Smith and Eugene Monroe, any of those guys that might be neck and neck, and also some guys that might be in the third, fourth, and fifth round that could go out, have a big pro day, and maybe move themselves up into that second or third round mold. And some players, even at this stage in the game, can bounce themselves all the way up into the first round if they can really open eyes for the NFL scouts, coaches, and general managers at their pro day. We have another email here.
Yes. You've got mail.
Justin, if the Lions pass on a quarterback with the first pick, what teams might draft a quarterback before the Bucs? That's a very good question because, you know, this is a draft this year where you don't see as many teams desperate for a quarterback. And I don't know if that's because maybe the economy and quarterbacks cost more. Maybe teams just don't need quarterbacks these days. Maybe the quarterbacks in this class not as good as quarterbacks in other years. And quarterbacks in the draft are, I mean, in the draft as a whole is a crapshoot. But quarterbacks, I mean, you can make your draft by drafting a successful quarterback, but you can also hurt yourself very bad by drafting a quarterback in the first round that doesn't pan out. Teams that need a quarterback other than the Detroit Lions as of right now, you can look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Jaguars and the Seahawks. Seahawks picking at 4, Jaguars picking at 8. I think either of them could look quarterback, don't desperately need one. Matt Hasselbeck's still there in Seattle. David Garrard's still there in Jacksonville. They can improve those guys, and they can find Matt Hasselbeck's heir apparent, but they don't need it. They don't have to have it, and I still think that the Seattle Seahawks could look offensive tackle first, maybe wanting to protect Matt Hasselbeck more than finding his heir apparent. But I'll tell you, if Detroit were to pass on Matthew Stafford and he falls to number 4, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see a Stafford go to Seattle there at number 4, or even a Mark Sanchez, who I compared to Matt Hasselbeck, if they want to go younger and have a guy with a little better durability than Hasselbeck. After that, San Francisco, I don't know. I don't see San Francisco going quarterback in round 1. They just did it a couple years ago with Alex Smith and another top 10 quarterback that you're going to pay that amount of money to. I think they have more holes to fill. I just don't see them. Now, here's an interesting team. How about the Denver Broncos? You know, if these quarterbacks are going to fall and you're looking at a Matthew Stafford, a Mark Sanchez, even a Josh Freeman who's really fluctuating, moving up, moving down. I still don't know how well he's going to read a defense in the NFL, but he's got all the physical tools. With that, if they decide they're going to trade Jay Cutler and they don't get a quarterback in return, they're definitely in the market for a quarterback. And if one of these top quarterbacks falls to them, I'd be surprised if Josh McDaniels did pass on that quarterback, because you can't open up that massive of a hole. Now, granted, listen, Cutler is a great quarterback. You can't trade him away and then not have a replacement in place for him. And if that replacement falls into your lap in the draft and you can groom him to be your guy, Josh McDaniels, apparently that's what he wants, I think the Broncos would be in line to draft a quarterback. Then you have the Jets, the Bears, and the Bucks, and then the Lions again, all in a row. I think any of those teams could take a quarterback. But remember, the Bears have come out. They said they like and want Kyle Orton to be their quarterback. Seattle, Jaguars, they have quarterbacks already, so not a desperate need there. San Francisco, I told you, maybe not. The Denver Broncos, they're still a wild card. We don't know what they're going to do. So other than that, really, you look at the Jets, really, right now, only having Kellen Clemens. How sturdy do they feel with Kellen Clemens at the helm? and then the Bucks. So could we see a Sanchez? Could we see, could you see a Stafford? Absolutely you could. Why wouldn't you be able to see Matthew Stafford falling that far? I've seen much better quarterbacks fall pretty far in the NFL draft. So if that's the case, well, the Buccaneers will have an important decision to make come draft day with the 19th pick. Another email coming in here.
You've got mail.
If the Bucs pass on a defensive tackle in the first round, what defensive tackle would be the best fit for the Bucs in the third, fourth, or even fifth round? Also, why do you continue to think that Pare Jerry, remember it's not Pariah, it's actually pronounced Pare Jerry, wouldn't be a good fit for the Bucs? That comes from Billy in Bradenton. Billy, I do appreciate that email. We'll start with Pare. And the reason I don't think he is a very good fit for the Bucs, they're not going to play that one gap defense anymore. And I'm personally been shocked this entire offseason that the Bucs haven't gone out and addressed their defensive line. I still think it's the biggest weakness on this team, even bigger than the quarterback situation, and they haven't done one thing to address it the entire offseason. And to me, that's embarrassing. By the way teams were manhandling your defensive line at the end of last year, and then to not address it one bit in the offseason, I'd be, you know, right now, you have to address defense in the draft. You've put yourself in that predicament. You've gone out, you've addressed offense in free agency. You've even brought in Angelo Kroll, but you haven't addressed defensive line. That's why in my two mock drafts, I've had them taking a defensive end in Larry English and Ron Brace, who's that big, massive nose tackle who's more of a fit for what Jim Bates does on defense. Now, the problem with Pare Jerry is that he doesn't have the elite size. He's had durability issues. He's not a big space eater in there. He's a one-gap type of defensive tackle. If Monty Kiffin was still here running this defense and it was the Tampa 2 defense, or even Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator and they were going to stick with the Tampa 2, I'd have the Bucs taking Pare Jerry. But the Bucs are switching their defense. They're going to a bigger defensive tackle, guys who are going to be space eaters, maybe a two-gap type of defensive tackle and not that one-gap defensive tackle. And to me, the better fit is Ron Brace. Now, defensive tackles the Bucs could be looking at in rounds 3 through 5. A couple of guys I think could be there in the fourth or even fifth round. Chris Baker coming out of Hampton, 6'2", 326 pounds. Once again, big, strong guy. The problem is he has character issues. He actually played at Penn State before having to transfer to Hampton after being dismissed from Penn State. So are you willing to put forth maybe that effort and drafting a guy who does have serious character flaws, or compare him to Marcus Thomas? Remember, I believe it was last year or the year before, Marcus Thomas playing at Florida. Could have been maybe a first-round pick, could have been a top 15 pick, had those character issues fell to the fourth round. I see the same thing in Chris Baker. And then Sammy Lee Hill, coming out of Stillman, 6'4", 329 pounds. This guy is big, he's strong, he's physical. I like what he's done. You know, once again, competition has been iffy at Stillman, but you can't teach that kind of size, and I think he's going to have pretty good size he's going to get even bigger, what I'm saying, once he gets into the NFL. Our final email coming in.
You've got mail.
Justin, I hear all these people calling Jay Cutler a crybaby. Do you agree with these statements? Yeah, I've heard that too. I have dealt with it day in and day out. And I'll tell you this. Trading draft picks is always makes me weary. Because I'm a firm believer that you build championship teams through the draft. But with that being said, I've seen the guy play. And he's only been in the league 2 years. And he's 25 years old. And he led the second-rated offense last year. You know, the way, you know, he got along with Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan was fired. He then went to the owner and asked the owner and said, listen, our offense is fine. It's our defense that needs to be fixed. will you let the offense stay the same? The owner told him yes. Then they go out and they hire Josh McDaniels. Then Josh McDaniels tries to trade him and bring in his own guy and Matt Cassel. You know, players get upset. It happens in the NFL. Julius Peppers, is Julius Peppers a crybaby? He wants out of Carolina. Now, I love Jay Cutler. I watched him on the field. He's got a strong arm. I love the guy coming out of college. So why wouldn't you love him now? He's already been a Pro Bowler. He's had 2 years. He's already been a Pro Bowler. And he's led the Broncos to the second-rated offense in the NFL. Third-rated pass offense. They didn't even have a healthy running back. There was a point last year where the Broncos had to turn to Peyton Hillis, their fullback, to be their running back. And they threw the ball, and they threw it with efficiency. And he had a very successful year, and he's going to be very successful. He's a franchise quarterback. Do I agree with the fact that he's trying to get a trade? I don't know. But I know he's a hell of a quarterback, and I think he's going to be a hell of a leader. He just has to find the right situation. And right now, in Denver, it ain't good. But the people that are calling him a crybaby and saying they wouldn't go after Jay Cutler, are you kidding me? Your quarterback's Luke freaking McCown. Ugh. We'll see what the Bucks do, but I'll tell you what. I would do whatever it takes to get a guy like Jay Cutler here. Now, I'm not giving 3 first-round picks, but if they called for 2 first-round picks, I'd have to think long and hard about bringing Jay Cutler in to be my quarterback for two first-round picks. Because the Bucks have gone 30 years without having that type of a franchise guy. A guy you can put at quarterback and not have to worry about that position for 10 years. That's the type of quarterback Jay Cutler is. All right, we're going to wrap it up. That's been our email segment for today. We'll come back with another podcast in just a little bit with the Pro Day results of Penn State, Florida, and even California coming your way later on today. I do appreciate you chiming in and tuning in and checking out JoeBucksFan.com.
The Blitz, Saturdays at noon, only on 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal.